BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
It's 4 o'clock. I'm Johnny, I'm 21 and I'm from Works Up. You might not know this, but I once took pictures of my girlfriend in bed with Keith Lemon. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio, Scott Mills!
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Hi. So Johnny introduced the show today. Why was your girlfriend in bed with Keith Lemon?
We was in Woodall Services driving past and there was just a huge crowd outside with this bed. And then we were just trying to queue up for a picture and he just says, does anybody want to get in bed with me? So my girlfriend jumped to the chance and I took pictures.
Whoa, 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 hang on a second. Right, so you told me that you were at a service station.
Yep.
And then the next thing I know, there's a bed and Keith Lemon's there. Your girlfriend sounded keen.
Yeah, there were biscuits, though, so she was straight in there.
Why was Keith Lemon there in a bed at a service station? You're not explaining it.
I think he was promoting his new show. He's doing some sort of movie about himself.
Okay. So you stop at the services, you and your girlfriend.
Yes.
And there's a big crowd around whatever's happening.
Yep.
And it turns out to be Keith Lemon in bed at the service station.
Pretty much, yeah.
And your girlfriend says, yes, I'll jump into bed with you, Keith.
Yeah. To be fair, I wanted to get in bed with him as well, but...
Who doesn't?
Yeah, we wanted to get some food, so we just went there instead.
Was it just the biscuits that attracted you?
No. Keith's got nice, luscious locks, hasn't he?
Obviously, you've got a girlfriend, but would you go gay for Keith, you think?
I think I might, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know a man that wouldn't.
Yeah. Chris, you keen?
You would, though, just to say you had.
You would. It's Keith Lemon, come on.
Yeah.
What a gimmick.
Nobody can say no to Keith.
Exactly.
So, how long did it last in the bed with your girlfriend? I mean, how long was she in there for?
She was just pretty much in and out. It was quite quick.
Right. That's our Keith.
Yeah, you don't mess around.
But luckily you had your camera with you.
Yeah, I did. And then we both got a picture of him as well.
Sounds like you had a lovely day.
I'm gutted. I've never seen anything exciting happen at a services apart from those guys trying to sell you breakdown cover.
They're always on, aren't they?
I've never seen a bed or any celebrities.
Maybe if the guy selling breakdown cover had a big bed that they were on, and that people would gather around, and they'd probably sell more.
Biscuits?
And biscuits.
Yeah, I'd get in for a bourbon. At least listen to their spiel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretend you're interested.
Yeah.
You'll go to bed for a bourbon?
What?
Is this what you're saying on national radio?
Becky will go to bed for a bourbon. The thing she'll do for a custard cream.
Oh, no, I don't like them. I do it for a jammy dodger.
It's a real-life story magazine headline waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a lovely day at the service station, which proves that they are one of the best places to hang out. I've said it before, I'll say it again.
Yeah, it was a fun day.
Thanks for introducing the show, Johnny.
No problem.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, if you've broken up from school today, is it that day where the teachers have, they call it a training day, but they don't actually do much and just drink loads of really strong coffee?
Yeah, I think that's tomorrow, and then the holidays official start next week.
So hello, Amy in Southend, who says, no more school for me now. And also George in Wigan, hello. That means you can listen to us next week as well, doesn't it? 1 till 4, that's when we start. That was David Guetta and Nicki Minaj and Turn Me On. So, Rihanna, after 5 o'clock and somewhere, we will fit in the season finale of 24 Years at the Tap End. You're just going to have to listen because today is busy. Mm. Becky and Chris are back. Hiya.
Hello.
I missed an important day yesterday.
I know, I was on my own. How could you abandon me on my birthday?
And it was your birthday, but we've got you a present.
Oh, thank you.
Now, it's nicely wrapped, as you can hear, sparkly star paper. It's a joint present from me and Chris, so it's well thought out.
Thanks, guys. It is really well wrapped.
Hope you like it.
Yeah. It's clear wrapped, so I had to get a couple of pieces of coloured paper from the photocopier.
Right, okay. It looks like a picture. Is it a picture?
Yeah.
Is it a frame?
Say what it is. Okay, we'll explain. Okay, we'll explain why we've given it to you. Now, when Usher came in, he said, do you collect art? And you said no. So we've got you...
The classic.
We've got you a really... a classy classic piece of art, which is...
That is the famous one with the lady tennis player itching her bottom. Well, she's kind of... riding,
heard it called that before.
Riding her skirt up a little bit so I can see her cheeks.
It is art, though.
That is art.
And that's your first piece of art. So next time when Usher comes back and he says, do you collect? You can go, yeah, I've got the one with the tennis player.
The tennis player and the bum.
Yeah.
Can I get the dogs playing snooker next? That'd be amazing.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, I've got a better idea. Russell from Chichester helped me with this one. I don't want that dogs playing snooker now, because everyone's got that.
Mm.
Every pub. Can I get the hot bloke holding the newborn baby? Black and white.
Yes, I've seen that one before.
Yeah, yeah. That definitely needs to be the next one, yeah?
Okay.
In my art collection.
I love it that you're now a collector.
I'm so pleased, thank you. Where did you get that?
I was really hard. Yeah, an art shop. Yeah, a gallery.
It looks like it's been printed off, like, off a printer.
No.
No.
It's a lovely frame, anyway. Hang on a minute. Hasn't that... Right, hang on.
No, let's not go into
it. No, let's talk about the frame as well.
It's a lovely gift.
Right, that frame looks a little bit like the one of that had me and Ollie Mers in it dancing for Sport Relief. Is it the same frame? Where's the picture of me and Ollie gone from your desk? Right, it's the same frame, blatantly.
It's the
frame
that counts.
Thank you, I think.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 with Scott Mills.
Now, did either of you see The Apprentice last night?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Spoil it.
I won't, but some severe top-end news.
Go on.
They made a product to solve the issues about bathing at the tap end. They made a tap end cushion.
Hang on, I've got a clip here.
So what we've come up with is an idea where you've got a product that covers the tap, but it's got a pillow on it.
Oh, it's like a pillow for the tap end.
Yeah.
This would have helped you in all your 24 years at the tap end.
Made it a lot more comfortable.
But do you reckon they listened to tap end and this is where they've got this idea from?
I mean, sorry, it's too much of a coincidence.
Can I get some money for this?
Probably not.
No, because I still don't think you're the only person that's ever bathed or ever will continue to bathe at the tap end.
I still get emails from people going, why is it called 24 years at the tap end? It's because Chris didn't realise that you can sit the other way and it's a lot more comfortable. But they do sound like they may have latched on.
So what we've come up with is an idea where you've got a product that covers the tap, but it's got a pillow on it.
Or they could just do what I did eventually and just turn round.
Yeah. Did they get fired? No, don't tell me.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now it's time for the posh Radio 4 lady to read out some of the blah that you've been sending me this week on email. It's Dear Scott time, because it's a Thursday. First one.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris and the team. I was listening to your podcast the other day and heard the bit about having the lights which turn on and off when you clap your hands and how this may be problematic when trying not to seem too forward with someone and the Friends theme tune comes on and they get the wrong idea.
This started out when Adam, who works upstairs at Radio 1, told us that he's got these lights which you just do and they turn on and three times they turn off. But it is problematic while watching Friends because of the theme tune. It sends your lights haywire. Not good.
However, this is not your only problem. There are a whole load of songs which should not be on the bedroom playlist. It would be a nightmare if We Will Rock You by Queen came on. Just thought I'd let you and the listeners know so embarrassment can be avoided. Love the show. Makes me laugh out loud. Cara, off of Lewis, 17.
Imagine that, and you got back to your house. I'll just put some music on. On. Off. On. Off. On. Off. It's like a disco in here.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big night.
That is a good point.
Does it go on like that for the whole song? It does, doesn't it?
It really does.
Oh, my God.
Off.
On his advice, I went and bought one of these clappy... things.
You are joking,
yeah.
Me.
No,
I
did you?
One. But the thing is, my lights are just on a normal main switch, and it acts like a plug, and the only thing I can plug into it is my TV. So it's only my TV that's getting operated with the clapper thing. It's not
your TV now goes on and off.
With a clap, yeah.
Serious?
Yeah.
You look so proud of yourself that you can do that.
Yeah.
Does your girlfriend like it?
But it's the only thing that I could really think of to plug into this thing. I can't really think of much else that I own with
parents...
a hair dryer or something. Like, it's pointless.
What do your parents and your family think when you're, like, going, like, in your bedroom all the time, just, like, clapping yourself?
I don't know, really. It's just sort of, let me get on with it.
I like it. I like it that we kind of took the mick out of those last week, and secretly, you thought, bing, good idea, and went to buy some.
Great idea.
Love that a lot. Next.
Dear Scott, did Becky really just say that she finished her sport relief run in just her socks? Love you, James.
You did do 6 miles for sport relief in Reading at the weekend. Did you actually say that?
I did 4 miles in my trainers and 2 miles in my socks. Because I realised after 4 miles I'd bought the wrong size shoes.
Just your socks?
Yes. And at the end I had to throw them away because they had holes in the
Nothing box. Else apart from socks?
Oh, what? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh, well, that's
not
what
just
they're
my
suggesting.
Socks. Oh, I thought they meant without trainers. Like, not nude and then...
I thought you meant it was like John Bishop where he split it into different things. Did some rowing, did some... I thought
what,
you
like
were
some
doing...
fully clothed,
yeah,
some
you were
nude.
Doing some with your shoes and some...
No.
Okay, just to clear that up, you were wearing...
I was wearing clothes, yeah, jeans.
Hi, Millie here. Becky is my role model. Tell her I love her rap. Winking smiley. Love you, bye. Millie, 11 years old, 1 metre, 43 centimetres. P.S. Say hi to the one who doesn't speak. Chris, please don't stop 24 years at the tap end. And can you explain the rule again for Fox Hunt? Love you, smiley.
I don't understand that.
You do. Do you remember that story I was telling you about that bar crawl that I went on?
Oh, yeah.
Which involved the girls dressing up as foxes.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to stay one bar ahead at all time.
Yeah. And then you're the hunters.
And then 10 minutes later, the blokes are let out. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that, those are the rules.
Millie, don't get involved in that.
No.
It sounds like a bad idea.
It's quite primitive, isn't it? I'm me man, you a woman.
And every pub you go into, you've got to, like, be blowing those horns. You know, that...
Oh, God. And 24 years at the tap end will be back, but it's the last one in the current series today. Don't fret.
OMG. Have you seen this? It's Becky's wiki page, personal life thingy, smiley.
Ria, what is going on with your Wikipedia
this.
At the moment?
It's really bad. It's been hacked.
Right.
Rebecca was born in Taunton, Somerset. She attended Crispin School, going on to study journalism at Bournemouth University.
All true.
Yep.
It was whilst at Bournemouth where she discovered her love of health and safety when she accidentally slipped on a tube of lube.
Factually incorrect. Next. It's on there. Let's just keep this moving. This isn't
Rebecca
true.
Rebecca was born with 3 arms.
No.
And had planned a career in the circus.
No.
Which she was extremely excited for.
No.
Unfortunately for her, she later lost one of her arms. She then settled for a career in radio, but she still dreams about a life she could have had in the circus.
Wrong.
All wrong, yeah?
Yeah.
Rebecca is currently in a relationship with a long-term boyfriend who has not yet been disclosed. He's thought to be smooth-talking Dan's brother, Ian.
No.
Rebecca had previous relationships with co-hosts on Radio 1, Scott Mills,
no.
and Scott's friend, Chris.
Not through lack of trying.
Much love, smiley. Chloe, lots of kisses from Folkestone.
Can't you just go and change it if it's not true?
Well,
or do you quite like
because,
it?
No, the thing is, I thought, like, if I went back and changed it, that would then encourage them. Like, for more. Like, the more I change it, the more they go back. It's you, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
It's not.
It is you, though.
Is it you?
No, I wish
it
was.
It is him, though.
It sounds like something that you would write. Is it you? Is it? Look me in the eye.
It's not
he
me.
He can't.
Look me in the eye.
It's not me.
It was you.
It wasn't me.
It's so you.
It wasn't me.
That's why you put that we had a relationship. I knew you'd been lusting after me.
Well, that's clear. Let's take ourselves back to Edinburgh last year. Should we not mention that?
No, we were just giving you.
We were just showing a lot of love for each other. It was a loving. It was nice.
I've never seen Chris look so angry.
Don't be angry. I was involved too.
Should we just do next?
Next.
Dear Scott and everyone else, I live in Hong Kong for part of the year and have recently discovered the most amazing DJ. He's called Uncle Ray and is honestly about 80 years old and plays only songs from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s and no further.
Amazing.
His catchphrase is, "All the way with Ray." See what you think. Love you, Alice, XXX.
I think that Ray sounds brilliant. Can we hear his opening jingle, please? Here we go.
Hi there, your friend, Uncle Ray.
On all the way with Ray. All the way into the wee small hours of the day. It's
That's from now until 1 a.m. 5, 6, 7 on your medium wave. Music of the 60s and 70s.
Wow. He's on till 1 a.m. and you can go all the way with Ray. I wish I had a jingle like that.
Really?
Well, something... I like the singy bit.
Do you want us to make you one for next week?
I don't want...
All the way with Scott.
No, I don't want the same words. I quite like it when it tells a bit of a story. It gets you to know the DJ so much more. Big up, Ray.
The Scott Mills Daily.
It's time for the season finale of 24 years at the Tap End. It will be back at some point on our new show, which starts next week, 1 till 4. How are you feeling, Chris? You look quite sad.
Mixed emotions, really.
Sure.
You know, happy that it seems to be something that's done well, but sad that it's sort of finishing today.
Yeah.
Do you have an incredible cliffhanger for us to take us through to season two?
I didn't think of that, if I'm honest. But
you have to have that.
You have to keep them wanting more, to lure them back.
Well, just in case there isn't a second series, I thought I'd just finish it.
Give me a second series.
Bish, bash, bosh.
There will be, don't worry about that.
Well, we'll see.
We're not putting it in writing.
No, but I might not remember anything as well.
There is that. I'm going to have to pay out my own money for him to have hypnotherapy.
Yeah, but I'm going to probably pay the other way in the fact that there's a lot of stuff that I don't want him to remember.
Sure.
You know, like he's going to have to start talking about stuff he's done with us sooner or later.
Well, that already happened to me on one of the episodes where
it was
about me and I wasn't comfortable.
You see, I haven't been exposed too much yet, but...
As time goes on, yeah. All to come in season two, listeners. Right, where are we?
Right, well, here we go. It's, I think, my 21st year. Hazy memory, but it was my last year at uni.
Okay.
If you're keen.
Ready.
I'm keen and ready for the last time.
I'm ready.
Okay. Here it is. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the season finale of season one's 24 years at the Tap End.
A large amount of my time at the Tap End has been spent sleeping, so it seems important that I acknowledge a couple of dreams I had when I was younger. It's rare that I remember my dreams when waking up, but you do get the odd one where you wake up and for a couple of seconds believe that it really happened.
Or that you're still in it, I get sometimes.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I once woke up believing I had won the lottery, and another time I woke up believing that Emma Bunton had given me a kiss. It got me thinking that although this didn't happen, I should still count it as a life experience, as even though it was in my sleep, in my mind it happened.
What, so if you meet new people and they're like, tell us a fact about yourself, you've said, I've kissed Emma Bunton.
Yeah, well, I think from now on I will say I have, because you spend so much of your life asleep that it is still technically your life, isn't
it? What about the lottery win? Like, won't people ask where all the money's gone?
Yeah, that's where it falls down. Technically, I'm a millionaire when I'm sleeping. Does that make sense?
You can't go around telling people you kissed Emma Bunton if you haven't. You can't do that.
Well...
It's a lie.
I can tell them if I'm asleep when I'm telling them.
It's getting really...
How does that work?
It's making my head fizz.
Yeah.
There's a film in it somewhere, I'm sure. But, yeah, I live a different life when I'm asleep. One morning, I woke up after a particularly vivid dream involving Sir Dosser, Watford Football Club and Cheryl Cole. Weirdly, we were both playing for Watford. R. Kelly was in the dream as well, which I remember thinking was slightly disturbing.
What was he doing in the dream?
I can't really remember. He was just wearing a robe and sort of just walking around.
Like he does always.
Yeah.
That silk robe he always wears.
Yeah, that's the one. And boxing gloves, I think, as well.
Yeah. What was Cheryl doing?
She was playing football with me.
Wicked.
For Watford. It had been... Yeah. Sorry.
What were you waiting for a big football star reaction from us then? What did you want us to say?
I don't know. It had been a big night out the night before. I'd done karaoke at the uni bar and then headed out to Jester's that night. It was an important night, the night before I found out whether I had passed my 3 years at uni and had actually got a degree. Work-wise, my time at uni had been a bit hit and miss. All 3 years I'd ended up having to do retakes after failing a fair few exams. But mainly, for the sake of my mum, I was just hoping I'd passed. The scoring system for degrees is a bit odd, but I was hoping for a third, which, if I'm honest, isn't that impressive, but in my opinion would have done the job. You know what degrees are, Becky?
Yes.
So
I think Scott does as well, even though he hasn't got one.
So I have got one, actually.
Have you? Yes. Oh, yes, of course you are. Honorary to what?
Thank
honorary
you.
One.
Think of, I'm not a cheat. I got it for my services to the public. I'm a doctor.
And it's insane, isn't it? And he neither
honorary
gets
degree.
A student loan for it, yeah. or he hasn't had to do any essays or
so
dissertation.
You don't, like,
done hours
you
on the radio,
it for free.
Chris.
I had to pay like 20 grand. I'm still paying it off now.
Yeah. Southampton Stonehenge University.
Yeah.
Honorary degree, thanks. Doctor of Arts.
But it goes, I think it goes like a third, 2-2, 2-1 first, I believe.
Yeah.
And there might be something before a third, but generally if you get a third, it's sort of...
All right.
It's all right, isn't it? I knew I was going to have to pay the price for 3 years of largely fun times. I didn't mind this, though. Uni isn't just about the work. I was pleased that I was going to be coming away with some good memories. Results were due out at 11 a.m. and were going to be available online before they were printed out and stuck on a board, old-school styly. It was a sunny day and about a 10-minute walk from the converted old people's home I was living in on Brookvale Road to the Murray building at Southampton Uni, where I was going to get my results. Although I was feeling anxious, I had resigned myself to the feeling that I just wanted to pass. When I arrived at the Murray building, it was already quite busy and filled with people saying how disappointed they would be if they didn't get a first. I didn't want to surround myself with these people. I took myself off to one of the computer rooms and logged in. Results time was about 10 minutes away and I sat there with my headphones in.
What were you looking up?
What do you mean?
What were you doing on the computer?
Well, I was logging into the website to, in 10 minutes' time, the results would come out
on
the computer. So,
all right.
What were you listening to?
Headphones in, yeah, good point. Weirdly, and this is a coincidence, I think one of the songs I was listening to was Rihanna, that one, You Put On Quite A Show. You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
Take a Bow.
Take
yeah.
a Bow,
it's
yeah.
one of the faves.
Because it seemed fitting, because it was towards the end of, you know, round of applause and very entertaining and... Yeah. Put on quite. It seemed fitting that this was my last moments at uni, and that song was playing.
Oh, did you do a waiting for my degree results playlist?
I didn't, but I think I had 10 minutes, so that Rihanna song was on there. And then it hit me that this was what everything had built up to. This was what, for me, all that time at my primary school had been about. From my teacher announcing that I would be allowed to write with a fountain pen rather than pencil, to the Swanage field trip where we set the fire alarms off with deodorant. The nudie pens in Boulogne in my upper school.
Classic episode.
To the canteen boycott and German exchange.
Another brilliant one.
This was the result of all that time and stress that had gone into GCSEs and A-levels, which had got me to this very moment. Even the extracurricular activities that had shaped me as a person started to flash through my mind. From my year 8 school disco, where I danced with a girl, or the time I nearly drowned in foam on my first under-18 night at Destiny in Watford. I had travelled the world to get to this moment, from Zante to Malia.
The world.
That's not far, is it?
No.
Well, no.
They're both Greek islands.
Yeah, but
sure.
I came back to Britain in between.
Oh, right.
So technically,
okay,
it was quite far.
That is the world.
From Ayia Napa to Kavos. Again, not a direct flight. It was back next year. Experiencing and soaking up many different cultures in the process.
Like what?
Well, different countries, wasn't it? It was they go about their business.
How many Greek people did you meet when you were in Kavos?
Probably not that many.
No. And what do you think shaped you as a person? What kind of what did you learn from the Greek islands?
Survival skills, if anything, actually.
And you have to pay extra if you want to take a dog back to your hotel room.
Yeah. Don't take dogs back. Don't hand over your passports unnecessarily. And just get through it. Do your best to get through it.
And that the pictures of the food in the window of the restaurant will not necessarily match up with the food that you get on the plate.
Yeah, they never will. I snapped out of my daydream as my phone went off. It was a text from Chango wishing me good luck. My mates had been a big part of me getting to this stage. And though they were proud of me, I was proud of them and everything they were achieving. Some of them went to uni. Some of them got jobs. But everyone was moving forward, and they had achieved so much in their own lives. Chango, who had eaten 24 slices at a Pizza Hut buffet, Chinese Dave, who was doing a degree in Leeds, and Sir Dosser, who was getting on with his music career. I looked at the clock. It was 10:59, and my time at uni was nearly over. For the last time this series, if you're listening to the audio tape of this, press play on the emotional music. Very good. This is it.
Yeah.
This was it. Somehow I'd got there in the end. I started to feel the adrenaline as I kept clicking refresh on the computer. As it hit 11 o'clock, the screen changed and there it was. And if what I was reading was right, I'd not just passed. I got myself a solid 2-2. A Desmond. I'd take that. I sat there for a minute, staring forward. It was my school life done. The future awaited me. Little did I know what life would bring in the future, that I would meet 2 out of 5 Spice Girls, or even write an autobiography of the stuff that had got me here. And in that minute, as I sat there feeling like it was all over, I thought to myself that I'd done all right for an average bloke from Pinner.
I am a mountain, I am a tall tree, oh, I am a swift wind, sweeping the country. I am a river, down in the valley, oh, I am a vision, and I can see clearly. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, I'm that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1, and I'm Scott Mills, and we are nervously awaiting the arrival of Rihanna. Becky's having a bit of a turn.
No, do you know what? I've got that feeling, like, you know when you have a house party and, like, you've done everything and you've kind of tidied it up and all, like, the wine's in the freezer and all that, and you're kind
of, is there,
like,
wine in the freezer?
Well, yeah, like, you're trying to get everything ready and then you go round.
Awesome.
And you're like, oh, I'll just rearrange that and then, like, I'll put some more makeup on, and then, like, you have that fear of, like, overdoing your makeup and... Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Why do you put wine in the freezer?
But, like, when you, if you've just done a last-minute... Oh, shop, right, purchase, yeah. And it's not cold, yeah. And you're like, quick, shove it in the freezer.
I mean, we've tidied up the best we could for Rihanna, I think.
Yeah, but now it's that thing where you're just waiting and you've got nothing to do because you've got, yeah, ready too early, and you're like, oh, should I have a drink? Or
are they going
to
come?
Yeah.
I hope she does. So Rihanna is coming very soon to Radio 1. I always feel like I've not done something as well. Like, you know, you want to be the perfect host, don't you?
Oh, yeah, there's no party rings.
There isn't, is there?
Fail.
She loves a party ring. What did just happen, though, I went to see the crowd of people outside, which is, you know, sizable now. And as we walked back in, the cleaner's here, and he's got, like, a mop and bucket. Now, I almost fell over. So you might want to go out there and say, can you hold off that for 5 minutes? Because I don't want a cartoon incident with Rihanna and the cleaner and the mop and the bucket.
Oh, yeah, he's out there now, spraying away.
Oh, hello.
That's an industrial sort of...
Right, let's bring him in through the other way, just to be safe.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1, that was Rizzle Kicks, oh, when I was a youngster. Rihanna's hot. Going, oh, Rizzle Kicks.
Yeah. Right, I was like, who?
Do you like that?
I love that. I never heard that song before.
It's really good. They've also got another one called Down with the Trumpets, which is really good.
You almost said Down with the
Down
Trousers.
Down with the Trousers.
There you go.
Hi, Rihanna.
How are you?
It's good to see you. Welcome back to Radio 1.
Thank you so much.
You can watch us now if you want on the Radio 1 website. It won't cost you anything, and you'll be able to see Rihanna. Hi.
Hello.
So you have got this new movie, which I saw the other night.
Oh, you did?
Battleship, yeah. And it's basically the US Navy... battling with alien invaders who want to take over the Earth. And you can watch the trailer. It's out on April the 14th. Trailers all over the internet. You are badass in this film.
Wow, thank you so much.
Like, there's a
I had
bit,
a good time.
There's a bit where you start using that huge cannon to blast the aliens and you looked really comfortable with it.
Yes, I'm big with good big guns.
Yeah.
But... I had a good time. I mean, we did most of that training with the weapons on set.
Did you?
Literally just before we started to shoot. Every day it was something new and it was a new experience. And I loved the physical stuff the most.
Did you?
Like the stunts and the soccer and the fighting and the shooting. That was my favorite part.
So did you do your own stunts?
Most of them.
Wow.
So many fight scenes. I had a stunt double, but I didn't really... enjoy using a stunt double. You know, at first we had a stunt double that, you know, her body didn't move like mine, and I'm like a control freak like that. So I was like, no, I need to get in there. Throw me in there. They were trying to give me a break and I wouldn't take it. But then we had another stunt double who's just bananas. Like, I was like, yeah, have her shoot everything. Have her make me look good.
That's great. How scared were you on the first day turning up on the set? Because you've never really done acting before.
Terrified.
Were you?
Terrified.
And there's Liam Neeson. You're like, oh, hi.
It was a whole new world. And I really didn't know what to expect. It was my first time doing a film. And you could just imagine, you pull up in a car, you get to your trailer, you get dressed and ready. And then you pull up to set, what you think is set. And then they're like, oh, no, this is just the part where you get on the boat that takes you to set. Oh. In the middle of the ocean, and you're pulling up like, oh my God, there's so many people, and there's this huge barge and these huge cameras and cranes in the middle of the ocean and props. And it was scary, but Peter Berg, the director, he was incredible at just getting straight to the point. He didn't even give me a chance to think about it. Before you know it, I was saying lines, and I didn't even have lines on the first day.
All right. What was your first line? You must remember it.
It was a curse word.
Okay, yeah, good.
No.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Let's not do that.
No, that's fine. You got involved with the army gear as well. That was all good.
Yes, I did, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Navy, not army.
The Navy. And we actually had a lot of old vets from the Navy, you know, real Navy vets who fought and who've lived on those ships for forever. And it was really cool having them there and be a part of the film.
You look so hot in that uniform.
Really?
Yeah, you do.
It's a good look.
I saw the clip on BBC Breakfast this morning. My boyfriend was like, she looks hot. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, you're being extra sweet. I like the fact that I didn't have to think about what I was wearing. I rolled up to set in pajamas and left in pajamas.
Amazing.
And wore the same thing every day. It was the best.
That's so good.
Yes.
Like, everyone does everything for you, right?
No, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, like, obviously, you know, but like, you can just literally turn up with your hair a mess and it just gets sorted out. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we wore a wig for the movie because my hair was blaring red at the time.
Oh, was it when you had red hair?
Yeah, so I had to kind of tuck it away. Yeah. And we had to do something that was, you know, allowed in the Navy in real life.
How does it work with the aliens? Because obviously you're on a big ship and there's aliens coming at you. Do you have to act disbelief when you see them? Is there anything there?
There's nothing there but like a metal pole and like a tennis ball on the top telling you where your eyeline is. And you kind of have to use your imagination. The whole film, we use our imagination. I mean, when you're even looking at it. At one point, though, there was a scene that they had an arm in there.
Right.
And it was so gross that you could really see and feel what the alien would look like. And, but when you watch it back in the movie, it's a whole new beast. It's awesome.
The aliens are incredible. The special effects are,
oh my God, they're
so
creepy
good.
Looking.
Yeah, they're so good.
And they're called thugs, which I thought was so cool. Because they really look like that.
Also, do go and see this film, but not if you have a headache. Because literally, from start to finish, it's pretty much.
Not from the top.
Not from the top, but pretty much.
The action ensues, I mean, it's nonstop.
When it kicks off, it kicks off.
That's for sure.
In a big way. So you're just looking at a tennis ball pretending to be terrified.
Yes.
I love that. That's acting. You can do it.
Thank you.
Now, have you signed up for any more movies? Have you got the bug now?
I want to do more. I really want to try more. I had an incredible experience with Battleship, and I owe that to the whole crew and the cast and Peter Berg especially. And I cannot wait to see what I do from here.
Yeah.
We really think you should
do a period drama, don't we?
I'd like to see. We've got on here Downton Abbey.
You know, like
that's in the States. It's like set in like First World War, like period drama.
Well, you can go earlier, like dress up in Victorian clothing, and it will be foggy. Set in London.
That would be nice.
I'd like that. Really good.
We gotta get you in one of those outfits.
Oh yeah,
with the corset, the full works.
I think so.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's everywhere that you have got the tube a few times when you're in London.
I should have got the tube here.
You know what? You should.
I would have been here a long time ago.
Now, the other night, obviously, you went to see Drake at the O2 and you used our public transport system. In a previous interview, you said that you're working hard on getting an Oyster card. But I did notice, Rihanna, in the pictures, you just still have a single ticket.
I got an Oyster card yesterday.
Oh!
Uh-oh. I got two, though, so, you know, I'll use it. I'm
got
always
three
on the
now.
Tube.
And he's loaded it with
hands.
Hand
it over.
I've topped it up for you as well.
Really?
Yeah, there's like £20 on there. You can go miles.
Oh my god, you can can't
go
wait.
Thank you. You can go overground as well. You can get on buses.
Really?
London is literally your oyster now.
Thank you so much.
That's okay. Oh, rubbish.
Oh no.
I wanted to be the first.
Totally bummed. They all only had like £5. So you know, you give me like,
oh really?
Yeah.
That one is loaded. Like, that's like £20.
Quality right here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'll save you money in the long run. You don't want to be getting those single tickets all the time. I think that the fact that you take our public transport system does make you an honorary Brit, pretty much.
Thank you.
I think so.
I take that with pride.
Have you been to an English pub yet, British pub?
I'm sure I have.
You
I
have?
Just probably don't remember it.
Really? Okay. Have you eaten a kebab?
Yes, I have.
Amazing.
A kebab, of course.
I like it that... not only are you not afraid to take the tube, also you're not afraid to have a picture of yourself eating fries on Twitter. That'd be good. So you're real. I like that. What was the other thing we could ask? Oh, yeah, football.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been to see any football yet in this country?
Soccer.
No. I know it's football. We say football in Barbados,
okay.
Too.
Okay.
No, not yet, unfortunately. But it's on the bucket list.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I support a football team called Watford.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be amazing if you... I'd like to get involved in...
I can't see Rihanna turning
judging
up.
Judging by their... You know
reaction.
What? I might come.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's make it a date.
There's a maybe.
Done.
From Rihanna. Listen, we're going to play the next single from your album, which is Where Have You Been, which you can download now, obviously. Hey, and you're headlining our Hackney Weekend, Radio 1 Hackney
yes.
Weekend.
Yes, just signed on to do that.
So good.
Brand new, and I can't wait. I'm excited.
This is the biggest event we have ever done.
Wow.
It's like 6 stages, 100,000 people.
What?
It's going to be huge. So thanks
six
for doing it.
6 stages?
6 stages.
That's
because you played our big weekend before. In fact, I remember really vividly the day that Umbrella went to number one.
It was that day.
It was that day.
I'll never forget.
And all the crowd had the umbrellas.
Umbrellas.
So good. Love that. So you know what a big weekend is like. But imagine
that. Oh my gosh.
So much bigger.
6 stages.
So good.
I really can't wait. And I can't wait to see my fans. I love seeing my British fans. They get crazy.
Love it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Can you do the next song that you make? You know, Umbrella was number one for like so many weeks in the UK and it rained constantly for all of those 13 weeks. Jen in Warrington's been on. Can you call your next song Blazing Hot Sunshine? Because then that will be guaranteed pretty much.
I'm still getting blamed for that horrible, horrible summer you guys had.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, it was a bit like that. I mean, it did feel like your fault, but it wasn't.
I actually think the weather helped the song stay up there for so long.
Yeah.
Yes.
You think?
Yeah.
Like, how often do you make music? Because there's so many tracks with you on all the time, and it's fantastic. But, like, it feels like you're always releasing stuff. Are you always in the studio?
Not always in the studio, but I'm always looking to make something new,
yeah.
Something fresh, something that... is different. I love traveling the world to find new producers that, you know, no one really knows of, and
yeah.
New sounds, and that's why, you know, we switch it up every album.
Yeah.
Because you have to.
And have you got lots of material for new stuff as well coming up?
I actually have started, you know, collecting and putting sounds together. We're only as early as the sounds.
Right.
And that, I think, is important because that's going to drive the whole direction of the album. And where we go lyrically will depend on my mood when we start.
Do you put pressure on yourself? Like, I've got to get an album finished. Or is it just quite chilled out?
No, it really depends on when I want to.
Yeah.
When I feel the itch. Like, I usually just get the bug and I want to do it. And I have to go to the studio and I have to start. And... there's nothing else that gets in the way of that. Like, that becomes my focus, even if I'm in the middle of a tour, which has happened for the last 2 tours, last 2 albums, or in the middle of a movie, Battleship. Yeah. Like, we were making Loud as well as putting it out. We the album was released in the middle of Battleship shooting.
Whoa. you are a good multitasker. You can do many things at once.
I'm a girl. You know what they say.
Now, obviously, we had Katy Perry in the Live Lounge last week, and she was saying that you were going to record together, but then there's a lot of pressure on that as well, because people are talking about it so much. Yeah. Is it going to happen soon?
Who knows when it's going to happen? It has to happen, but yeah. It has to be incredible. I mean, we're best friends. It'll be a waste if we wait this long to do it, and the anticipation is all for nothing. So yeah. We're not going to rush it, you know? It can happen tomorrow. It can happen 10 years from now. Who knows? Yeah. But it's going to be incredible whenever we do it.
Have you got an idea of what it might be? Like, have you got a thought of, like, you know, what you two could do together?
There's so many topics. I mean, we can talk about something as fun as sex, or we could talk about women empowerment, you know. There's so many areas we could talk about, hating boyfriends, you know. There's so much that girls can relate to, and I think either way it'll just be something for women that women enjoy.
Mm. Yeah. Katie's obviously been through a lot recently, but she seems good. She seemed kind of upbeat last week when she did our live lounge.
She's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, her. Like, she's such a strong being. Like, she wants to be there for me, and I'm like, girl, like, I'm supposed to be there for you. Don't worry about me right now.
Yeah.
She's incredible like that.
And you have been there for her as well. Recently.
Yeah, of course. Mm. You know, that's what friends are for.
Yeah. Is she your best friend?
She's one of my best friends in the industry.
Right.
Obviously, I have a best friend that I knew my whole life, and when I came into this industry, I just identified with Katie. I met her, and not a lot of women that I meet I can click with. And right away, I just knew I loved her honesty.
Mm.
And it was pure, and it was fresh.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed her company. She's funny. She's wild.
She's really funny, yeah.
Just like me, and we have a good time together.
Yeah.
Yeah. We enjoy each other's company. Not a lot. We work a lot.
Yeah.
So the times that we're barely in the same city for like an hour, we try to do something.
That's quite crazy. I never thought of that.
Like, or we have to plan it out.
You must have to send each other your schedules.
Like months in advance, say sometimes we have a trip coming up or she has some time off, I have time off. We kind of let each other know time off is coming up. Mm. So if you want to go here, you want to go here. It hasn't been working out recently for us, but we're still trying.
And when you do get together, obviously going out could be a problem because everyone is there and taking pictures. What do you do? Do you just like microwave popcorn and watch Mean Girls? What happens? That's what I would do.
No. I mean, we usually surround around good food, good music, and good friends.
Right.
It's always that way. Friends, food, and music, well, wherever that is.
A house or something?
Yeah, in a house, in a hotel room, at a Vegas bachelorette party. Who knows, nice. You know?
Yeah, love it. Now, back to the film. Obviously, it's about aliens and you're battling them. Like I said, you're badass. Is it true that you did do a little wee in the ocean? Because I believe the director...
Why everybody...
The director has said this. He's gone...
No, the director said...
Oh.
There was probably 50 people in the ocean in that scene.
Yeah.
And I had to dive in over and over and over.
Oh.
And then they made me think about this yesterday. I did an interview and they were like, yeah, but everybody else had to wee in the ocean. I was like, oh, thanks.
Whoa. Oh, no.
I did that like 20 times and I dived right in, like, nice. Not just swimming on the surface.
You don't want to think about it, really.
No, you don't.
You really don't. Hey, listen, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
It's really good to see you. Hello to everyone that's been watching on the website as well. Hello. One more thing. Obviously, you're one of the most Googled people in the world. Is there anywhere in the world that you can go now or that you've been where you haven't been recognised and you can just chill?
You'll know when that happens. Because you'll never see me again. I'll build my house there. I'll do everything there. I'll just hide out there. If I find that place, that'll be an abode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where that exists yet.
Right.
No.
Because it must... I mean, it is everywhere. Literally, every plane you get, you land... And
at least everywhere
there.
I've been so far, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to say, oh, everybody in the world knows me. But
they do.
I haven't been everywhere in the world, so... I'd love to go somewhere where I could just, where nobody really cares.
Right.
You know?
Would you really like that sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Just to be completely anonymous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is priceless.
Yeah.
And you never cherish that until you don't have it anymore.
Where do you feel completely relaxed and like there's no cameras on you?
Only one place I've done that, and that was on this private little island in Mexico. On the beach, and it was an island that Bob Dylan used to go and write his songs on. and I just went out there. You can only get there by boat. Only villagers live there. There's no roads, no cars. Yeah. And we went there for the whole day, and I just laid on the beach and listened to Bob Marley all day, had some beer. And that was one of the most amazing times of my life.
I saw
that one day.
Your eyes kind of misted over there, and I kind of
yeah. I just remember it right now. I would do anything for that moment.
Yeah.
You know, those moments are special. You cherish those now.
And how often do they happen?
Rarely.
Yeah.
You got to plan your vacation in advance.
Yeah.
Mexico, I can't just hop over there like the next 10 minutes. But if I get time, I love to go to Mexico. I'm always there.
And what about touring? I mean, obviously, you've done the rounds of touring. I saw you recently in London, and there was a lot of dates. It was amazing. But is that off for now?
For now, yeah. We actually are spending this year. We're going to be getting into fashion as well as more movies, but at the same time, working on music as well as putting the tour together, the production and the idea
and
what the concept is going to be, because we have something pretty special planned for next tour.
They're different
from everything we've done so far.
Seriously, like do you ever have a day off?
Yes. This year, I've been getting day offs here and there instead of every few months or
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm taking full advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for Rihanna for coming in today.
Thank
Good
you,
to see you
Scott.
Again. And we will see you at the Hackney Weekend.
Yes,
on the weekend of the 23rd and 24th of June.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rihanna. And hello, Zane Lowe.
Hello, Scott Mills. Hello, Rihanna.
Hi.
How's it going?
Very well.
I'm sorry we were just chatting away. We're 3 minutes into your show
now. That's cool. That's fine. It's absolutely fine. It's not a problem.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
I know.
That's some bossy stuff.
You know?
That's gangster.
Isn't it?
We just hijacked 4 minutes of your show now.
That's right. 4 minutes. We keep wasting time like this. It's going to be violent.
Oh, no.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free download.